For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, AMA, something we do every Wednesday at this time. You ask, we answer.
Ask Me Anything, brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
All right, so what do people want to know today?
All right, let's start out with Jack the Mike on Twitter. He says, if you could have society name one thing, a location, a building, a bridge, for example, after you to honor you, what would you like it to be and why?
Look, my first thought is our nation, but I don't actually want that.
Rein it in.
But
I don't, are you serious?
No, I don't actually want that to happen.
America? You want that to be a real thing?
That would be a bad sign that things went off the rails with the United States of America. So I will say no to that.
I'm proud of that invention.
Decamerica.
I like that.
You've thought about that, haven't you?
Where I live. That's what John calls my
area.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because it doesn't really have a name. It's not quite Penn's Landing, and John has named it Decamerica. Like, downed. It works really well. Yeah, here's my answer, James. It's similar but more optimistic.
Good. Similar, great.
A tremendous monument in Washington, D.C.
Oh my God!
Because we all know that will signify hail to the chief happens,
and
that I was a great chief. So that's my answer. I want a monument.
Okay.
You got the Jefferson Memorial. You got the Lincoln Memorial. You got the Washington phallic thing. You got Decamerica.
What?
All right. It is. Look at it.
Yeah,
it
well, obviously. Yeah.
Well, no I mean, one it's, calls it's, it.
It's an obelisk.
But let's be real.
We're all thinking it.
Let's be real. D-dubs?
Yeah. It's an obelisk,
they were
man.
Honoring him.
It's just a classic.
All right, that's my answer. Shape. What's your answer, John?
All right. Well, I mean, if we have to go Hottie Hammer and someone's naming something after us, I'd like a body of water that has really, really good fishing in it. Like, just give me something. Doesn't have to be big. Like, even a pond. But it's got to have awesome fishing that everyone can go up and you can cast in. You can catch a 6-pound smallmouth bass in my little
here's
body
my,
of water.
I'm just going to, this is just my recommendation to you, John. Next time, think bigger. Like, Pacific Ocean could be renamed.
Yeah, like monument to yourself.
You could have the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. I mean, the East River Drive got renamed the Kelly Drive. Or no, which one's Kelly Drive?
Yeah,
East River.
Kelly.
East or West River? By the way, why is the West River Drive always closed? Like,
it's always closed. I don't know.
Ever since the pandemic, I cannot go from Ballard-Kenwood to Philadelphia on the West River Drive. I don't understand. Anyway.
Could have named the Eagles Stadium after you, like going down to the Rich to watch the Eagles play. I mean, come on.
Right? I like that, James.
That would be amazing.
One,
I love that idea now that you mention it.
Yeah. Let's do one or two more, James.
All right, Richie, this one's from you from Liquid Death on Twitter. How about that?
Love Liquid Death.
Yeah.
Wait, like the actual brand?
Yes, like the actual brand is chiming in.
Oh,
they're Eagles fans. The owner's an Eagles fan, so shout out to that guy. Question for Richie. What are your top three metal bands of all time?
Oh, wow. Well, it gets dicey when you try to quantify metal, I think. When you try to... Like, is Zeppelin... Does Zeppelin count as a metal band?
No, absolutely not.
How about Dio?
Dio is absolutely metal, yeah.
How about Deep
Purple? Rainbow in the Dark?
How about Sabbath?
Yeah, Deep Purple. Yeah, those are all metal. You're good
okay,
there.
If Sabbath is metal, then Sabbath has to be on the list. Is Quiet Riot metal? Quiet Riot was my favorite band in the world in 1983. But now they're kind of hair metal. I don't know if they count. I'd say Zeppelin, Metallica.
I don't think Zeppelin's metal. They're rock.
Metallica, Sabbath, Dio.
Ronnie James Dio getting a shout out on the show. I love it. All right, one more, Joe. This one's for you.
Go ahead.
It's from GoBirds86. He says, Sixer season starts in exactly 1 week. Do you have a bold prediction for us?
Oh, boy. So saying they're not going to win the championship, that's not bold, right?
That's the opposite of bold. Saying they win the championship, that would be bold.
Look, I don't know what's bold. I'll just say this. If you play fantasy basketball, make sure you get Andre Drummond on your team. I mean, I think he's going to play a lot. Like, so first of all,
your team in rebounding.
I love Andre Drummond.
I think he's going to make a really big difference this season.
I love him.
He is so talented.
None of this Paul Reed nonsense.
He's got great hands.
Yes.
He's dependable.
Yes.
He's smart. I really, really think he's underrated, as underrated as it gets.
You know what he also is, John, which shocks me? I saw it the other day. He's only 31 years old. Feels like he's been around forever.
Sure does.
But, like, you should get him.
Well, because he's dependable.
He's good.
Andre.
Yeah. But the league never signs him for real money. I don't know why, but I'm glad he's their backup. I expect him to play a lot, which is unfortunate because, of course, we wish Joel was playing more. But with that, Andre Drummond, we shut it down.
Bold right, prediction, draft Andre Drummond fantasy.
Bold prediction,
what do you want
whatever
me to tell you?
Our over-under is, go way under.
I mean, what? You want me to tell you Joel's going to play 82? You want me to tell you he's going to play 2?
Hey, I
it's
think
somewhere
our,
in between.
No,
right?
Bold prediction, over-under? Like, when I last looked at it, it was like 52.5 or something.
Well, probably going down.
Under. It's got to be way under,
under
that. Like, whatever it is. Go under.
You're talking Joel games, not
no,
wins.
He's saying wins.
Wins,
that's
okay.
Wins, yeah.
Oh.
Wins, I think we're at 52.
They do have a better bench, though, and Maxey hopefully can continue to ascend. All right, let's talk to Patrick right now in Tabernacle. What's going on, Patrick?
Morning, everybody. Hey, listen, man, that Dombrowski press conference really got me fired up. I don't react as heavily as I guess some other people with these press conferences. But boy, it just sounded like, first of all, he's covering his own ass, you know, and
I didn't like the trade. I did not like the trade deadline answer.
I hated it.
Bad answer.
Yep.
Not enough accountability. Man. Not enough keeping it real.
Oh, well, Austin Hayes got hurt. Yeah. So, you know,
it wasn't that simple.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
And you know, he kept saying these short playoff series. Really, you know, if I heard that again, him blaming or citing, you know, the five, you know, short series,
See, Patrick, that answer doesn't bother me as much because I know it and I accept it. I'm not saying I love it, but, like, Patrick, think of the Dodgers. They may win the World Series this year. They lost in the first round they played in 3 straight years. Now, I know they got Ohtani, and I know that's a difference, and I'm not saying that's small. But, I mean, you can lose to the worst team in baseball in a best of 5. Let me put it this way. Phillies-Mets series, if I had to estimate it going in, I would have told you that the Mets had a 45% chance to win. I mean, it's like anyone that thinks this is like 80-20, it's not. It's baseball.
No.
And so my point, and I think this is largely Dombrowski's point, just because you lost the best of 5 doesn't mean you have to rip this thing up. I agree with that.
No, but what happened after the first 2 months, I mean,
I know.
You know, the rest of the season just trending downward.
Yep.
And I was a fool thinking that we could just hit a switch. And, you know, it doesn't happen like that, you know. And
I think, but Patrick, here's the thing I think a lot of people, and God, I'm not trying to wag my finger at the audience, okay? I'm just going to wag it at you, Patrick. Here's the thing I think you were foolish about. I think you assumed that the Phillies would win the series because they were the Phillies with 2 postseasons of success, largely, before a brick wall, and had a better record than the Mets.
And so did the team, Joe. That was the problem.
I don't know that that's true.
Joe, they changed nothing.
I don't know that they... No, they made more... I mean, Rob Thompson made more changes. I mean, it's just... Patrick, good teams lose. Let me put it this way, man. 11 of the 12 teams this year in the playoffs are going to lose.
Yeah, but they've lost in... They've gotten worse each year,
I am
Joe.
Aware.
Like you're acting like they didn't...
Okay, Patrick, I'm going to ask
you... And again, you're obscuring the fact that for 4 months, they were a regular average team.
Patrick, a yes-no question to you, and I'm not saying it's a simple thing to answer, but I'm going to ask it to you.
Okay.
Were the Phillies a better team this year than in 2022?
No.
I disagree with you. But I get your argument, but I disagree with you.
You can't. I mean, looking back at it now, you can't trend downward going into a playoff in any sport. You know,
The Eagles did, and then they won the Super Bowl. So you can.
But that was a unique,
it's not ideal. Look, I don't think it's an easy question to answer. I really
also,
don't.
Also, I think in football, you're playing one game.
Guys, I'm the guy that believes, and I think a lot of us do, the 2011 Phillies were better than the 2008 Phillies. I believe that. But the 2008 Phillies won the World Series, and the 2011 Phillies lost
better
in the first round.
Certainly a better rotation.
Way better.
Yeah.
But less hitters, and then you bounce it out. Okay. So, all right, Patrick, give me an answer, my man. I know you're a Flyers fan. This is for Flyers tickets to Saturday's game. What's a feel-good story?
I was going to guess you breaking 100 in golf, but I guess that didn't happen.
Not this year. It happened once last year.
Maybe next year. But listen, Bethany Hamilton gets her arm bit off by a shark and goes back on a surfboard. Come on, man. That's crazy.
That's good stuff. Patrick, good call, my man. Real good call.
Answer.
It is good answer. Well, I wish the Phils were still playing. I wish the Eagles were better. But the Eagles do have a record above 500. We're also trying to help you today feel a little better with some feel-good stories in which you can win Flyers tickets for the Saturday night home opener. This segment, you're going to hear from some of the real notables in Philly sports. Dave Dombrowski, Nick Sirianni, Rob Thompson, and others on a lot of different topics based on things that were said yesterday. Look, we're all reacting to the press conference yesterday, Dave Dombrowski being the most notable.
That's Rainbow in the Dark right there, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah!
I'll fire you up.
Yeah, you've been bad at letting music breathe lately. You've been regressing there. You jump right in, always now. Boom, right away.
Bang!
We made so much progress, and then it's just lost.
You know what? Let me tell you something.
Ronnie James Dio, Rainbow in the Dark.
Well, it's pretty good. I don't know if I've ever heard of it, but pretty good. All right, I have heard of Trey Turner, and I don't like that he's going to be their shortstop moving forward. So let's listen to Dave Dombrowski yesterday, because he talked a couple different times about Trey. Trey the hitter, but also Trey the fielder. Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski yesterday talking about Trey Turner.
Dave, by old and new school metrics, Trey Turner has really struggled defensively since coming here. Will he remain at shortstop moving forward?
Well, when you say that, his metrics are very similar to what they were before he came here in many ways. So Trey has been, he will be our shortstop, yes. He's going to be our shortstop the coming year. But we also feel that sometimes you have to be careful with some of that. And I'm not sure which metrics you're using, but they're not always 100% the defensive. We rely on defensive metrics, but there's also not a perfect way of describing the defensive aspects of the game, as far as we know. He did not have not an outstanding defensive shortstop. He does have good range. He makes really good plays at times. But he also makes too many errors at points. But he has improved. He's worked hard, and I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to improve despite his age.
All right. So I wasn't as down in the Nebraska press conference as many, but I'm going to make this answer real simple. It's a bad answer, and they're going to have him play shortstop for the wrong reason. They're going to have him play shortstop because of ego and probably because of a promise. They signed him only 2 years ago. You know what? It's like, if you're trying to win a World Series, play the right defensive players at the right spots.
It's 40 errors in 2 seasons.
So the right defensive player is Bryson Stott.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
Bryson, and the right defensive player is on the team.
He's on the team.
Available.
Yeah, correct.
He's right here, ready to go.
It's the wrong reason.
If you're just honest.
Yes.
Just be honest.
It's really irritating because there's some aspects that are kind of hard to figure out how to improve them. Meaning, like, you can't trade Trey's contract. You just can't. So stuff like that is hard. Stuff like just line the players up in the right spot, that's easy. Now, it might be uncomfortable to have that conversation, but tough cookies.
There's a clear example. The exact same offseason, they signed all those shortstops. Xander Bogaerts got $280 million instead of $300
million. Yep.
Just moved to second base this year for the Padres. Yeah. 1 year into his deal.
Come on, man.
He played a few games at Chirp. They needed him to play 85 games at second. Their second baseman.
About
All right, so let's get reaction on all these topics. We're going to get to Sirianni shortly, what he said yesterday about his kids when he joined us. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. It really hasn't been a good week for press conferences for our teams, has it?
No.
It hasn't.
I liken the Philly situation. I can't seem to shake this image out of my head, but bear with me. So if you go to a restaurant that's usually been quite good, but you have like two or three very disappointing meals like in a row, mm-hmm. and you're starting to like, do you blame the food? Do you blame the cook making the food? Or do you blame the guy ordering the ingredients? I think it's either the cook or the guy ordering the ingredients. And yeah, I just, you know, it's hard not to see what's happened since mid-July, and to even try to convince us, and hopefully it's just sort of window dressing, that we're going to roll this thing back is irresponsible, in my opinion. But.
So I don't really entirely agree, Ed. I agree with you that mid-July on was not good. But, Ed, let me just ask you this question.
Yeah.
If they had, and they're not going to have the exact same team, but let's just say hypothetically they had the exact same team next year. Don't you think they would win 90 or more games?
Yeah, and have a nice early exit.
Maybe.
Yeah,
who cares? No, hold on. Maybe, maybe not, Ed. I mean, like, when they played great in October, they in 2022, they played great. And, you know, like, most of the players are the same. They've since added Trey Turner, who I would say is an upgrade on Gene Segura, but like not a huge upgrade.
But also, Gene Segura is the exact type of player they need. A guy who puts the ball in play all the time, a guy who hit, like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. Trey Turner is definitely a better player. But Gene Segura, like, is the guy that this type of team needs. He's a big reason they made it there.
But they have a far, far superior starting rotation right now than they did then, largely because of Sanchez. And I push back on this notion that just because the Phillies lost this year and the last two doesn't mean they couldn't win with this group next year.
But Joe, that the team that was the second half team, you know, that was a more larger body of work.
Yeah, that's
than
my
their
point.
Great start.
I guess
4 months to 2 months, man. Like they were an average team.
Well, let me ask you this question:
longer than they were a good team.
How do you explain? I believe the number, and I may be off by a few games, but I believe the numbers are 64-57. How do you explain the 1980 Phillies and the 08 Phillies being 64-57, both of them? Which means for 4 months, they were slightly above 500, and then they got hot and they won. How do you explain that?
Because that's the way you win in baseball. What are you talking about?
I know. The point is you got to play better in October, not
the
wreck,
point
not,
is
not
we should be judging
up.
Teams on what they are for the second half of the season,
the
far more
is,
than what they are for the first half of the season.
The Petit Rouge is the end result this year. Like, we were expecting the run, the deep run, the World Series is what we saw 2 years ago, and we know that feeling. We know that expectation that I felt like this team was better than that team.
Well, I agree with
yet,
that.
Yet, four games. The Petit Rouge, no longer Red October.
I know, but it doesn't mean you have to rip it all up. That's all.
It doesn't mean you have to rip it up. It does mean you have to show contrition, and you have to tell us, I know where we can improve
this. He fell short of that yesterday.
I know where I can get better.
I know.
Here, and here, and boom. Thank you.
Dombrowski was underwhelming in that regard yesterday, no question. All right, Ed, give me a great answer. What's a feel-good story?
Talk about defying the odds at 5,000-1, Leicester City winning the Premier League in 2015.
All right, Ed, you got it, my man.
Probably not going to win.
No, I'd say the real-life Hoosiers would have a better shot because, one, we care about basketball more. Two, it happened in America. Three, we know the story more. But
Other than that was the play.
Soccer haters.
You want to go soccer? Go soccer. All right, let's talk about Nick Sirianni for a moment. And so he joined us on the show yesterday. You know, this probably would have been more of a topic today if not for the Phillies whole thing. But Sirianni, when he was with us yesterday, we covered the thing on the kids. So let's just play this audio. Let me say this. I wasn't comfortable having to ask about his kids. I think people recognize, John, I know you recognize, I'm really not asking about the kids. I'm really asking about Nick Sirianni's mind and like, why? Like, what are you doing here? So,
well, the point is you shouldn't have to be asking these uncomfortable
kid
questions because it shouldn't be that the kids are involved anyway.
I mean, the last thing I want to do is have anything that's in any way negative about his kids. And again, it's not about his kids. It's about the coach's decision. Listen to this exchange from yesterday. I'll tell you, I was very disappointed and surprised in the moment that he did not just say, I'm not going to have the kids there anymore. I can't believe after almost 2 days that he just wasn't going there. I was surprised and disappointed. Here's the back and forth yesterday. Nick, let's talk about Sunday's press conference. So, and I want to be really clear on this. I truly and greatly admire your love for your family. I mean, it's so evident that you wear it on your sleeve, your heart. It's great. It really is. I do think, and I think a lot of people share this sentiment, there's a time and a place to incorporate, you know, children in a post-game press conference, perhaps after a playoff win. Looking back on it and now moving forward, do you think it is appropriate to have children at a post-game press conference with you right there?
I think I shouldn't have I shouldn't swear in front of my kids. I don't do that. My wife was very quick to tell me don't swear in front of them. But I have so many great memories of football and growing up in football is why I'm in this position today. I said this after in my press conference on Sunday. I have so many great memories. The relationships that I have because of this game and the things that my dad, when he was a football coach, let me experience, I can't do all those things for my kids. Right? One,
one, practices after school, where I go out there and play in the bags and do things like that, you know, practices during when my kids are in school. So there are limited opportunities to be able to, you know, be able to share these. I love my family with everything I have, and I want them to love this game the way I love this game because of what this game has done for me. That was my only intention. Just like my intention is, like, my kids get to go play catch on the field after we win. And my only intention is after a win, being able to, my kids love going up with that press conference with me. And my only intention is to share a moment, you know, after that. And in my eyes, when my mind, you know, I've learned in this game that it's hard to win, and you have to appreciate the wins. If you don't appreciate the wins, it is a miserable, long, lonely experience. And so my only intention is my love for my family and want them to share that moment with me because of my past.
So, Nick, to that point, though, it sounds like you're saying you intend to do that again. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Again, that is for my family, and I think that you do the same thing for your family, that you think that is important to them.
All right, that was the exchange yesterday. John, I was surprised and disappointed. Your thoughts?
I would not do the same thing with my family.
I would
appreciate the win without incorporating my family, because that's not what is done. That's not what is professional in my estimation.
I agree.
I wouldn't do it the way that you do it. Now, that is, I guess that's okay, and I guess everyone is free to feel the way they feel about this. The Eagles clearly feel like, hey, there's some leeway here. We can work with this. I don't share that flexibility.
I agree. And I'll add this. So, you know, obviously he's referenced many times his father through the years, and God bless him, and having a huge impact in Sirianni's on his life as a person and as a football coach. And I understand Sirianni's desire to try to incorporate his kids the way his father incorporated Nick all those years ago. But the reality is this. His father was a high school coach. Nick Sirianni is an NFL football coach. He's the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
A multi-billion-dollar franchise.
Right? Yeah, like, they were not just the coach.
He's like he's one of the faces of a multi-billion-dollar organization.
Yeah, and I think part of his point was that he, Nick, doesn't get to spend as much time with his kids as his father did because his father had a lesser job. And I'm sure that's a tough reality. Look, a president, an NFL head coach, I mean, look, these guys are
keep
working
this,
a lot.
Have plenty of time, Nick. You'll have
and lots of
time
money well, from doing what you're doing well, for your children. That's why you do it.
No, I know. But look, I understand the frustration when you don't get to give as much time to your kids as you naturally would want to. But number one, you made a choice. You chose to become a head coach in the NFL. You made a choice. And number two, you can find time with your kids without it being the 15 minutes in a press conference. I mean, come on. 2-1. So I was disappointed and surprised. Now, look, a buddy of mine said to me yesterday after the show, he thinks there's a chance Sirianni knows he will never do it again, may have been told never to do it again, and didn't want to admit it.
I think that's the answer. I mean, he said, when you asked him, are you saying, even though this makes a lot of people upset, you're going to do it again, he said, we'll see, but you would do it for your family too. He doesn't say yes there. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't say no either, though.
No, he doesn't.
It feels defiant. It feels like he wants to say yes, but he's not going to say
Here's the disappointment.
I don't think he's going to do it again, but I don't think it's his choice to not, obviously.
Because I think they'll talk to him.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like I.
But
there's no question in my mind. Someone, if they haven't already, has sent him an email or earmarked him or sent him a text. Hey, we need to discuss.
Here's the problem, though. I mean, there's multiple problems, but I'll just give you the most, in my opinion, the most immediate issue. It's still an issue because of how he answered that question. If he had said yesterday what he should have said, listen, guys, looking back on it, I shouldn't have done it. I think you guys know why I did it. I love my kids. I try to incorporate them. It's a special thing for me. But I get the point. I understand the town's point. Yep, shouldn't have done it. Won't do it again. Story over.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story not over now. 215-592-9494, which leads to Joe Conklin having skits for us.
Oh boy. This is going to be a good one.
All right. So we played this very, very late in yesterday's show, but not around this time. So for the audience that typically drives to work right now, we want to play this for you. You know, Conklin was dialing up a couple things for us yesterday related to Sirianni's kids in the wrong spot per Nick Sirianni's choice. So let's have a laugh or two. Let's have a laugh or two because maybe Sirianni's taking them where they shouldn't be.
Hey, Howie, you want to see me?
Yeah, man. What's up with the press conference, man? You made a mockery out of that media availability. You got to show some more professionalism, man.
You know what, Howie? My players wanted me to be myself again and just bring the energy.
Yeah, I hear you, but you got to use some discernment, man. Some wisdom.
Miles, get down off of there.
What's going on with you, man? You got your kids here again today? You shaved your head?
Wait do you see my tramp stamp?
What?
Take a look.
Oops, I did it again.
I did it.
Man, you gotta pull yourself together, Nick.
Whoa, kids, come on. Get off of Howie's desk. You're messing up his papers.
Yeah, that's a Georgia depth chart there. I'll fix that. That's okay. Come on, don't be a clown, man.
You know what? You're right. I know Mr. Laurie was disappointed in me, and I know he doesn't want me to lose my passion. Just tell him I'm sorry, and I'm going to show discernment, wisdom, poise. Come on, kids.
Look,
let's go.
You know what? I think Sirianni's a really, really, really nice guy. I just think he's made some unwise choices and shown some immaturity, frankly. But look, you be the judge.
Not wisdom and discernment?
No, that's the irony. Not wisdom or discernment.
But see, being wise is one of the top credit things I'm looking for in my head coach.
I know.
Wisdom and experience in this league, that wisdom, that sage-like wisdom, that is absolutely head coach concept. That's the descriptor that I'm looking for.
I know.
We don't have anywhere close to that.
I get it, man. All right. By the way, Ross Tucker joins us in a couple minutes. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day right now. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away, always hoping for a cure. ArminChevy.com. Poll question. We go from one coach to one manager. Philly's press conference yesterday. Do you like the Phil's decision to bring Rob Thompson back for the 2025 season, yes or no? Yes or no on top or back? I'm a yes. You tell me where you stand. Let's go to Dennis in Newtown. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Hope you're having a great day. Listen,
doing
Devin,
well,
before we start, if I miss this, I have to follow up. Did you ever get to ride on a tram car in the summer this year?
No, I didn't.
We got to fix that. We got to fix that for next year. Okay?
I know. Next summer, it'll be on my list. It'll be top on my
list.
All
right. So, Joe, going back to yesterday, humble and hungry. I think Nick's anything but humble. He's making the story all about himself. I'm calling defenses. I'm calling offenses. This is going to happen again and again this year. What I don't understand about...
You got corrected, though, Dennis. Like, yesterday, Vic Fangio said, you know what? He didn't really call a defense.
I know.
That's amazing.
My point. What I don't
understand... What is going on?
And you know, they are a multi-billion-dollar organization, and they can't get him an executive coach? I'm available if they want that. But anyway, secondly... Nebraska, I tell you, the Phillies have cornered the fan market. They don't have to worry about it. People show up there no matter what they put on the field. I think his comments were a little bit arrogant. But the one comment that stuck out to me in Thompson's press conference was, we got to find a way to get these guys to use the whole field. Hello? 2 years, I haven't seen it. Yeah. I don't know what's going to be different about this year. And third, Joe, a monument to you.
Oh, that's what I'm
good
hoping.
Stuff. I think right? That's the definition of humility. and then my,
well, it's not about humility. It's about achievement. I mean, if there's a monument of me in D.C., it means I achieved something. I mean, it's true, right? Then, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, think of it this way. Nick Foles probably as humble as a guy that's ever come through here. If you asked Nick Foles when he was drafted in 2012, would you prefer there is or is not a monument of you at the end of your career at the link?
He would have refused to answer.
No, he would have said, I hope there's a
monument.
He would
have been like, that's not why I play football.
No, but he'd say that would be a sign that I want to.
No, he would not have said what you said. There's no chance.
He'd say, as the hammer would know, that's a sign I won the Super Bowl. Give me the monument.
Yeah, the humility is not involved here.
Hey, all right, Dennis, what's a feel-good?
My feel-good story is Alex Smith. Quarterback from the Redskins.
Yeah,
you know, he finished with Washington.
Coming back.
Day,
yeah,
everybody.
You got it, buddy. The shame of it is, it did curtail what probably could have been a couple more years of him playing. That injury, while he got back from it, it's not like he stayed in the.
He was
league
never
long.
The same.
No.
Yeah,
was that the same break that Hutchinson had, or different?
No, different. I think it's different. Okay. Yeah,
that one was nasty.
That was like almost lost his leg.
I know.
Bad. Yeah,
you know, was another bad one. Remember that Louisville player in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, Ware. Yeah.
That one was brutal.
That was maybe the worst to watch. Like,
well,
in like up
listen,
there.
Listen, Theismann.
I don't remember Theismann, so I can't comment on that.
Napoleon McCallum.
Crumrye.
Holy hell.
Because his foot was flopping all over the place, and it was the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It was the Super Bowl.
I mean, actually, to be fair, DeMar Hamlin was the worst ever. By far.
It's a different category. All right. With that, we go to Ross Tucker. Is that how we go to Ross? Like, we just.
Yeah, all the nasty injuries we could think of.
Ross Tucker, good morning, buddy.
I have never snapped a leg. That's the
cool.
First question. Anyway,
have you
good
seen
morning,
it?
Everybody. How are you?
Good,
have
buddy.
You seen it in a game, Ross? Like, live in a game?
I haven't seen a broken leg like that. You know what I have seen?
I saw
seen?
A femur.
Mm. You know I saw that was bad? You guys actually know him. You know Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football?
Yes. Yeah.
Our senior year, so we were college roommates and teammates, and our senior year against Penn, actually, he dislocated his elbow, and his elbow went the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, that's super gross.
And he was done for the rest of the year, which really was a bummer.
A bad injury.
Senior year. But, like, to see, anytime you see the leg flopping, that's gross. But to see the elbow going the wrong way, like the arm going the wrong way, that is gross.
Yeah, I got
like Gordon Hayward, his ankle went, remember his foot the wrong way. Oh, man.
All right, I think we could stop with how gross these injuries are. People might be eating breakfast.
Right. Especially the word flopping. I'm not digging
that
the word.
That one's worse than break.
Flopping. All right. So Ross, let's talk some actual football here because and coming
seriously?
Up, yes. Yes.
I would have bet $1 million. There was a 0% chance we were going to talk actual football.
We're talking football. By the way, coming up shortly, you're also going to hear from Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson, more from yesterday's Phillies press conference. But Ross, let's get to the Eagles here. So I had said on Friday that I really, really wanted this game, you know, Eagles-Browns, that is, to be a convincing Eagles win in which, for the first time in a year, we don't walk away shaking our head after a bad loss or an ugly win. And sure enough, we got another ugly win. I mean, what is up with this football team? Are they just, and I think probably a lot of truth, they're just not that good. But, I mean, Cleveland? How do they not put more on Cleveland? And what does that say about them?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of concerns. Joe, a lot of concerns. I mean, the positive, well, there's a lot of positives. I mean, the biggest one's probably Cooper DeJean and just how he played and how he looked. And I would say the defense in general, although I'm telling you guys, the first half of that game, the Cleveland Browns offense, that was like a comedy show. I mean, they looked at least like an NFL offense in the second half, but in the first half, there were guys open. Deshaun Watson wasn't even close to completing. Like, in other words, I'm a little bit confused, Joe, as the first half, whether that was good Eagles defense or just horrific Browns offense. You know, I am confused by the Eagles offensively. They were so good a couple years ago in getting off to these fast starts. They're opening game script is bad. It's bad. And so what's funny about that, and John, I know you know this, some guys, Joe, when they script their first 10, first 12, first 15, whatever, It's totally scripting for success, meaning based on all of our prep this week, this is what we're going to do to go score a touchdown in the first drive. Other guys want to have a different personnel grouping and a different formation in their first 10 each play so they can see what the D coordinator is doing against those, and then they kind of have their plan of attack for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's what the Eagles are doing because they are better later in the game, but it's like their first 6 to 9 plays every week. It's 3 and outs. It's barely anything. If they're scripting for success, let's be honest, they're doing a terrible, terrible job of it.
Yep.
They've had, of all of the opening drives this season, they've only extended one. They've only had a non-3 and out one time.
Meaning one first down.
They got a first down. Yeah. But that drive was 4 plays. Like when you look at the opening drive, it's 3 plays every week except for one drive that was 4 plays.
But here's what I'm confused by. So first of all, I don't think, to my knowledge, maybe the play where he ran out of bounds because he felt like he had to run out of bounds. Was there another play where they got the ball to Saquon Barkley in space? I mean, I can't remember one. I mean, it was all inside zones, and the Browns were totally stacked up to stop that play. And then the thing that is so interesting, I know there's a lot of stuff on the internet about this. They're not doing a lot of the things that Kellen Moore has done other places. So the question is, does he think that's what's best for this team? Is this what Sirianni wants? Is this what Jalen wants or Jalen's most comfortable with? I guess I'm waiting to see, you know, the long touchdown to Devontae Smith where he's wide open and it's the crossing route.
Yep.
I want more like that.
Great play.
I want more easy throws, open guys. It felt like in the first quarter, they're just throwing fade balls and like, okay, let's see if A.J. Brown can make a play against this guy. Let's see if Devontae can make a play. It's like, it should be easier than this.
Yeah,
I agree.
But it can be, Ross. Like, the point of that, like, the touchdown for Devontae, that the drive route, you know, against man coverage, when you know you've got man coverage, you know that certain routes are going to help pry things open because the defenders are going to have a hard time running with that route when there are other routes crossing over and they're going to be, you know, picking one another off of their assignment. Like, that works great. Why can't we do more of that? Why did that happen in, what was it, the fourth quarter? The Devontae thing?
Yeah.
Why did that take until the fourth quarter?
Other than that play and maybe a couple Calcaterra plays,
yeah.
You know, we all Calcaterra. Watch a lot of games, right? It just seems like things are harder for the Eagles than they are for the other good teams. Maybe that's because they're not as good as we were hoping they would be. But if you think, and I know there was a kick return for a touchdown, but for them to only score 20 points without Hurts turning it over or having even any turnover-worthy plays is concerning.
So Ross, here's a tweet from yesterday. Kurt Warner, obviously, you know, one of the better quarterbacks this century.
Yeah.
And he had, a really interesting tweet, and it's in line with, you know, the way I've been thinking for what it's worth. But here's what Kurt Warner said in a tweet. He said, it's fascinating to me that through 3 different coordinators, and it's really kind of 4 coordinators if you really go back, you know, if you count Sirianni as one. It's fascinating to me that through 3 different coordinators, the pass concepts run by the Eagles remain primarily the same. I would not expect that, especially this year with Kellen Moore, but maybe it's more about the quarterback than coordinator in that respect.
Well, that's the question. I mean, they're not going to answer the question but that's the question is, you know, it's funny because a couple weeks ago I did the Browns Raiders game, right? And so, you know, I'm in these production meetings, you know, this is a good example. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, and we saw this on Sunday, he totally changed his offense. He used to be an outside zone, bootleg play action guy. He has now gone to all these RPOs and stuff because he's trying desperately, Joe, to do what Deshaun Watson is comfortable with or does best. But now what you have is you have a guy calling the plays who's calling plays that aren't even what he really knows or is good at, but he's calling plays to try to fit in this quarterback.
Yep.
Who's not playing?
Ross, so that's what Sirianni and Shane Steichen did when they first got here. They hadn't run with Phillip Rivers and other Colts quarterbacks the Jalen Hurts type offense. To their credit, they adapted to Jalen. The problem is now in year five for Jalen, it feels to me like he's not evolving in a way that coordinators and head coaches feel comfortable tapping into more of the bucket. But
well,
you know,
and they do this. They do say to the quarterback, what do you like?
Yeah.
What do you feel comfortable
day.
With?
All
and by
the
way, that's important.
What do you like
because
here?
You want the quarterback to feel comfortable.
Sure.
And it seems pretty clear to me that Jalen is comfortable with RPOs and throwing a bunch of fades against man coverage to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
All right, so 215.
Outside against man coverage, he'll put it up there.
All right, 215. Thank God for A.J. I mean, he bailed him out the other day. He's a magnificent football player. Just extraordinary. All right, 215-592-9494. Shortly, we're going to get to Dave Dombrowski and a bulk of what he said yesterday. Right now, let's play Rob Thompson audio. Because, you know, James, I think the big thing we were looking for from Rob Thompson yesterday was game four.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Wheeler, Sanchez. I mean, okay, maybe you're not going to use both. But you got to have at least one. Wheeler Sanchez, what are you thinking? Good question. I did not like his answer, but it's his answer. Here's Rob Thompson yesterday on the Wheeler Sanchez game four thing.
I recognize, Rob, that we're almost a week removed from game four, but to go back to game four, what was the reason that Zach didn't have a role other than emergency pitcher in extra innings? Why wasn't he used in the sixth to maybe give you a couple of innings? And I guess by extension, Christopher Sanchez as well.
Well, Zach's working on 3 days rest, and Sanchez's working on 2 days rest. So I'm not gonna put their future in doubt with this franchise. I just won't. I was a little more. It was Sanchez's bullpen day. Zach had thrown a bullpen the day before, getting ready for Game Five. So I was a little bit. Sanchez was a little bit more available to me than Zach was. Now, we get into that game and we get into leverage situations late in games coming out of the bullpen. Sanchez hasn't done that all year. So that's why I stuck with our main relievers who had been very good all year. It just, for whatever reason, it just didn't happen in the postseason. So that's where I'm at.
I don't like it. Don't like it. And here's the thing, guys. Like, no one was saying Sanchez had to pitch five innings, okay? But you're in a spot where you know the bullpen's been faltering for 3.5 games. You know you keep having to go to the main bullpen guys because, you know, there's only so many you trust. And you had to go to the bullpen extremely early in game four because of a very short start by Ranger. I'm really disappointed that the Sanchez thing was only if we need him at the very end of the game, not let's stick him in the middle of the game.
The most important part of what turned out to clearly be the most important part of the game.
And look, guys, I'm not telling you I pitched in Major League Baseball because I didn't, and I'm a doctor and knows the intricacies of the arm and how damaged the guy's future could be if he gets in there. But I find it hard to believe.
His future's not going to be damaged.
So many pitchers have done this. So many starters have done this over the years. And then on top of that, then don't tell us he's available. Don't say before the game that he could give you an inning or two if you're not going to use him in that spot.
He said everyone is available.
And then the Zach Wheeler thing. Like, don't say available in emergency. Guess what? An emergency happened.
Like,
what other emergency is there other than your season's on the line?
James, I'm with you 1,000,000%. And it's just not enough urgency. It's like when you don't have JT or Bryce bat in August because, like, what, you don't want them to limber up in case they get a double and have to run to second base as a pinch hitter. Look, people have been doing it in baseball for 150 years.
Joe, this is my issue with when they just very casually were like, you know, and I know you guys are fine with Rob coming back. They're like, oh, yeah, all the coaches are coming back. And I'm going, oh, okay, everybody's coming up. So Rob with his bullpen mismanagement, 2 straight years in the playoffs, he's back. Kevin Long, these guys can't do anything whatsoever, so I guess they don't listen to him. Younger players, Marsh, Stott, Alec Bohm, they completely regressed. The only person who, for me, skates is the pitching coach.
Yeah, no, I think that guy did a good job.
Approach was a disaster in the postseason when it mattered the most. When our bats went cold repeatedly, it was, well, what's going on with their approach? Why are they why are they swinging? What in the world? Like, that is Kevin Long's area of expertise, right?
It is, but...
So who gets blamed? Did someone get blamed?
Well, what I take away from them bringing Topper and all the coaches back is that it's on the players. That yeah. they tried their best to... Kevin Long tried his best. Because like, I think of all the coaches, I agree, he's probably the one who I would have guessed would have been gone. Yeah. But
it's as simple as that.
The players didn't step up when they needed to.
The players deserve a lot of blame. The players mm-hmm. deserve a lot of that. I feel like other people deserve more, I guess.
Yeah,
more.
I agree with you on that. Too.
All right, so all of this on the table. Ross with us as well till about 8:40 today. Let's go to the phones. By the way, coming up shortly, something from Conklin and more, a lot more of Dave Dombrowski of what he said yesterday. Let's talk to Kenny right now. Kenny, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So first off, I want to thank you for everything you did for the Darren Dalton Foundation on Monday. You're a rock star for doing that for us.
It's my immense pleasure. It's a great foundation. Dutch was our dude, and it was great seeing a lot of people.
And a great cause.
And let me just say, Darren Dalton Foundation.org. If anyone ever wants to make a donation to help in the fight against cancer and to help patients that are struggling with it, the website is Darren Dalton Foundation.org. It's a wonderful charity.
And thank you for saying that, Joe. Sure. And Devin, I was really disappointed yesterday in the press conferences. You never said, "This is the news."
I'll keep that in mind for next time.
This is the news.
Kenny, you know what we did find out, though, from Devin yesterday? And at first I thought, uh-oh, big mistake. And then it was affirmed by Dave Dombrowski. So Andrew Painter's name is Andy?
I heard Devin ask the question, too. I'm like, so we all just call him Andy now?
So
is that
Andy?
Like an accepted thing?
Because, Devin, you call him Andy.
She just threw
you
Andy did. Out and there.
It was surprising, wasn't it?
And then Dave Dombrowski calls him Andy. And so I guess
he's Andy Painter going to be around? It's like, who?
I thought that's what everyone called him.
I never
Andy?
Heard that.
Until you asked that question, I had not heard him
that's
called
so
Andy.
That's so funny.
Andy
yeah.
Painter.
Now I have, you know, new thing to be self-conscious about unlocked because I didn't even think about it when I said it.
Well, maybe that is. I mean, look, a lot of Andrews go by Andy, and maybe when he was drafted.
A lot don't.
Well, I think I
no,
did.
No, a lot
on
don't.
On social media, his handles are Andy. So I assume that that's what people go by, so that's why
sure.
I called him that.
Look, that's
next level knowledge by you, Devin, with the social media exposure yeah. and understanding.
Sure.
That's what he prefers.
All right, Kenny, I'm sorry, we hijacked this call. Go ahead, buddy.
That's all right. I know I'm in the minority with this, but I just got to tell you how I feel. All this Sirianni nonsense, I think is just nonsense. I'm so upset that we have a team that can't score more than 20 points, that we have a Ferrari being driven by an idiot, and all we're talking about is his press conference and him going on the sidelines. This team right now, we have the talent, we have the players to be so much better, yet this is the second year in a row now where I'm seeing subpar play calling. We brought in new coaches that thought that would fix it, and I'm starting to think that this is all Sirianni's philosophy. He's telling Kellen Moore, do this, do that, stay in the shotgun. He's telling Vic Fangio, bend but don't break. And Vic is hamstrung because he can't do what he wants to do. Because I am not seeing any improvement. And we have the players to...
Well, yeah, the regression. They're regressing, clearly.
It's just driving yeah. me crazy. And I'm sitting in the
And
stands.
By the way, they're boring, Kenny. And I hate to say that because we love the Eagles. But, man, these 3 hours when you watch
the
a game...
The NFL thinks they're boring.
Yeah, it's a tough... Yeah, the NFL moved the game in 2 weeks to a 1 o'clock game instead of a 4:25 game because
yep.
the Eagles and Bengals aren't good enough. Kenny, we got to move to a lot. Give me a great answer. What's a feel-good story? You can win tickets to the Flyers home opener Saturday night.
Young girl singing a national anthem forgets the words. Mo Cheeks.
Oh.
Great answer, Kenny.
What an answer.
What
an answer. Mo Cheeks at the time, the Trailblazers coach. Totally. All right, speaking of hoops, let me give you a Paul George update from yesterday in case you missed it. Sixers announced he'll be reevaluated in 1 week. The good news is, as Nick Nurse said, I'll just cut to the chase here. Nick Nurse said, quote, "Everything checks out okay," meaning structurally. Paul George also was quoted as saying, "I felt that it hyperextended and immediately it was all right. I needed to get taken out and looked at, but if you ask me, I'm not too concerned about it." So, all things considered, that's good news.
The key is here, yeah. and then they called it a bone bruise, which is what's expected because of the bone clashes together.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a
sure.
lot. The femur and the tibia bang together. Yeah. Now all he has to do is get the swelling out, and it'll feel fine.
Yeah. Now, the bummer is, you know, when you reevaluate it in a week, as of yesterday, and the season starts
the
in 8 days.
Swelling still probably will not be out.
You're probably not playing the first game.
Correct.
I mean, the first game is yeah. in exactly 1 week. So, you know, we'll see.
We don't know if Joel is playing.
No, we don't. All right.
I'm Jed Lipinski, and
Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.